The verse there that we had in your bulletin, Psalm 127, and the third verse. It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." There are two key words that appear in that verse that are familiar to us all. And the one is heritage, which means inheritance or possession. It's used in other places in the Old Testament to speak of the nation of Israel as God's possession, as his special people whom he cared for and watched over, his inheritance. And then the word reward, it's the same word that God spoke to Abraham when he said, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward." While it is often used in the Old Testament to denote wages that someone pays to a laborer, you know, his reward for his hard work, I believe that in Psalm 127 it depicts something of great value. And I think that tells us that parents have nothing of greater earthly value than their children. That's their special possession. So my question is this morning, if you are a parent with children, what are you doing? What have you done with God's possession, which is also your greatest possession? And that should cause all of us to think on how we have done in parenting our children. Would you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks this morning for this beautiful day, for the quietness of the hour, reminded of the scripture that says, "In quietness and confidence shall be our strength." And Lord, when we come quietly before you in prayer, we truly do draw strength that the Spirit of God gives us peace and rest amidst the very troubling time. And Lord, we don't know how things are going to go. Think of the next battle coming here with the appointment of this Supreme Court justice. We know, though, that many people will not be satisfied in this country, no matter what would happen. So we just pray, Father, that we as Christians would continue to seek the throne of your grace, that, Lord, you would help us to be your mouthpiece to people, introducing them to the peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give, the King of Peace, a peace that passeth all understanding, a peace that would guard their heart and minds. So, Lord, that's my prayer this morning, that we would be your witnesses in the midst of this darkness of the hour, and that your church would stand up and continue to proclaim the gospel, continue to preach your word, continue to reach out to people outside the walls of the church, wherever people are gathering together on the Lord's Day as they go out from today into their places of business, their neighborhoods, that the Lord, they would take the light of the gospel with them. May we ever look unto you, Lord, as the author and the finisher of our faith. I do pray for all those among us here today who are hurting in body one way or another, those who could not come because of the weakness of the flesh, that, Lord, you would supernaturally empower and enable them and heal them. Lord, you can do everything. You are the Almighty God. Help us never to forget that. I pray for our country, Lord, our president, his cabinet members, United States Supreme Court. Lord, help them to draw from biblical principles and teaching, that their desire of their heart would be to rule righteously, to look to you I pray for those who need to be humbled, Lord, that they would humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and that you would exalt them in the proper time. Lord, our country needs healing. There is a great divide. There's a lot of anger, hostility, and evil. It's being played out every day across America. Lord, we know the gospel is the only message that can change those evil hearts. And God, I pray that it would. That in the darkest hour, your people in your church would shine the brightest. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you thought there were a plethora of books about marriage, and there are, there may be more about parenting, both Christian and non-Christian. But when you look at the Bible, it doesn't give us a parenting manual. Actually, it talks specifically about parenting in just four verses in Ephesians and two verses in Colossians. You can look at Ephesians chapter 6 in the first verse, where Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And then in Colossians chapter 3, if you would look there, very similar words, verse 20. Colossians 3:20. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." You have to love the Bible, don't you, for its simplicity at times? It doesn't give us a parenting manual. It just gives us a couple of verses that hit the heart directly. Of course, there are other verses and principles that we apply to parenting, and that's what I'll be doing this morning. But Paul's words to the Ephesians and the Colossians are the essence of it. So as a parent, you should have already memorized these verses and hid them in your heart. When it comes to godly living in the home, parents have the God-given responsibility to rear their children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And children have God-given responsibilities to their parents. They are to honor their parents by their obedience all the days of their life. And when Paul speaks to the Ephesians and he mentions that the word children, we need to point out that's the Greek word technon. And it refers to one's offspring. The age of the child is not in view. It could be a young child, or it can be an older child. It could be a child that has already left the home. You will always be your parents' offspring, no matter how old you are. And if they are still living, you have responsibilities toward them. Take up the children's responsibilities maybe in another message, but today I want to speak to the parental duties, what I have called parenting God's heritage. Now, if you have no children who are at home, or if you never had any children, it's still important for you to hear what I have to say today, because family life and homes in America are being destroyed by a great and roaring lion who is going about seeking whom he can devour. And we know that if Satan had his way, he would totally destroy the institution of the home. He would completely destroy the institution of government so that there would be anarchy everywhere. And he would destroy the institution of the church. He is hard at work trying to destroy all three institutions that God has ordained. So as Christians, we have to be wise. We have to put on the full armor of God. And we must fight every day the good fight of faith in opposing this great adversary, in opposing those through whom he works, and in opposing his methods. And the Bible talks about the wiles or the strategies of Satan. He has many, many different strategies and tactics. He knows what will bring you down. He knows what can bring a church down, divide a church. He knows your weaknesses and your strengths. So we have to be wise. We have to seek godly wisdom from the Word of God. And we have to be prayerful. When it comes to parenting, the way we do that is by applying the teaching of Scripture and biblical principles to the institution of the home. And we'd do that also to the institution of government and the church. Because if we don't do that, we can unwittingly play into the devil's hands. I could look back at my own life and, you know, when I got, as the saying goes, you know, you sort of operate in fleshly thinking, it doesn't always turn out good, does it? When you're in control. When God's in control, it's completely different. Now, since the word parenting begins with the letter P, I'm going to make it easy for you this morning. I don't usually do this, practically never do this. But I'm going to list some crucial parental duties to help you remember. And they all begin with the letter P. But before I do that, I would like to inform you this morning of a truth that you already know, so maybe it's more of a remembrance, that parents are the primary disciplers and spiritual leaders of their children. It is not their Sunday school teachers. It's not their pastors. It's not the Christian school educators if they go to a Christian school. Someone else's parents are not the spiritual leaders of your children. Grandparents, while they can be a great help, are not the primary disciplers of your children, and neither are any of those other individuals that I mentioned, not even the church. Too many people just rely on, well, they will get that kind of instruction at church, and that's the wrong approach. Parents are the primary disciplers of their children, and discipling is the task of both the mother and the father. Proverbs 1:8 begins with, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So parents, moms and dads need to be on the same page, right? They absolutely need to be that way. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Hearken unto thy father who begat thee, and do not despise your mother when she is old." So there's that lifelong honor and respect that is to be shown to one's parents. And if parents are growing in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord, then the instruction that and advice that they give to their children is never old-fashioned. How many times you hear children and they talk about, "Oh, my dad or my mom," and they're just really old-fashioned. And children, if you think that your parents' teaching is old-fashioned, the problem isn't with their teaching. The problem is that their teaching hasn't fashioned or transformed you because you may be resisting it rather than allowing it to change you. And I may also say this, if some parents are behind the times in some things, that may be very good, right? When you consider the way the culture is going, I think we might be all better off to be old-fashioned. The instruction of the father and the law of the mother must be Bible-based. We have to be guided by the scripture. Not a lot of the advice that maybe you received from other people who weren't looking to the scripture. Not your own personal wit and wisdom apart from the scripture. Has to come from the scripture. So discipling your children must be, first of all, purposeful. Purposeful. Raising a godly offspring does not happen by accident. Parents can never assume that their children will automatically acquire the beliefs of the parents. It doesn't happen that way. Dr. Joseph Hopkins, in discussing what he called the disease of biblical illiteracy, and boy, that is a rampant disease today. But he stated as the reason for this, the real culprit is the non-committed parent whose faith is at best peripheral. It's out there, but it's not really focused like a laser on the Word of God. And who therefore fails to recognize the importance of providing careful religious or biblical instruction for his children. That's the crucial thing. We parent by the book, right? By the Word of God. You have to be purposeful in your parenting. You have to know what it is you're trying to accomplish, and by God's grace, seek to accomplish it for the sake of your children. Christian parents must endeavor to create a hunger in a child's heart for the Word of God. That's not easy. They need to see it in you. Proverbs 2, if you have your Bible. Verse 1. Look what Solomon says. My son, and I'm going to emphasize a couple words there that depict this hunger. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you seeketh her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see the passion in those verses? I mean, that should be true for all of us, right? Lifelong passion for God's word, the treasures of God's word. So let me ask the younger ones here today, what are you passionate about? I think we should all ask ourselves that question, right? Is our greatest passion the desire to know the Lord more intimately and to follow him more completely? Or is something else in our life a greater passion, whatever that happens to be? Job, the ancient patriarch, he said in chapter 23 and verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I read that verse and I was really pondering that verse and thinking to myself, how much of God's word did Job really have? how much more do we have in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? And so that question is one for all of us. Do we esteem His Word more than our necessary food? How long can you go without feeding your soul on the Word of God? Now, parents have many opportunities to teach their children. Many opportunities. And even when they're old, you have many opportunities to impart, you know, the wisdom that you gain from life's experience, your successes and failures as you evaluate them in the light of God's Word. You can always pass that on to their children long after they leave your home. But in Deuteronomy 11:18, it says, "Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart." That's hiding the Word of God in your heart. "And in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." And then it says in verse 19, Deuteronomy 11, "And you shall teach them to your children." See, it has to be first in you. You have to be passionate about it. "Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon thy gates." Sitting, he says. Walking by the way. You're out on a walk with your children. Lying down before you put them to sleep. Rising up, the first thing that they hear in the morning is the sound of your voice. Maybe reminding them of the things of God. But those verses in Deuteronomy 11, and they're also in Deuteronomy 6, they depict normal daily activities. And I think what they're teaching us, literally, is that the spiritual classroom is never closed. It's not 8 to 3. It's all day long until you fall asleep and your children are already sleeping. Martin Luther, Reformer, said it is highly necessary that every married person regard the soul of his child with greater concern than the flesh which has come from him, that he considered the child nothing less than a precious eternal treasure entrusted to his protection by God, so that the devil, the world, and the flesh do not steal and destroy it. A precious eternal treasure. That is the soul of your child that will live forever. I always thought about that. Children have an eternal soul. So many parents get caught up on giving them a nice home, equipping them for some calling in life, pushing them off to college. They're glad if they get a good job and make a good living, and then they could raise their children to do the same, but they have an eternal soul. What if that soul is lost? What if that soul is lost in the process of trying to be a good parent, as most Americans defined a good parent? Supplying material and psychological needs, but ignoring the greatest need that a child has, that every child has. It's not for their body, it's for their soul, which will live forever. Secondly, discipling your children must be a patient undertaking. It requires a lot of patience. And I think we all would readily admit this morning that it is hard at times to be patient with people, isn't it? Especially your own children who are with you day in and day out, and they will test your patience all the time. And when one, if you have numerous children, if one just finishes testing your patience, there's another one in line. We don't always respond well to the patient test, do we? We don't. Because we have this thing in us called the sin nature that resists the control of the Spirit of God. So we can strike out in anger rather than having the law of kindness on our lips. Somebody wrote this. He says, the purposes of God often develop slowly because his grand designs are never hurried. It didn't take him long to create the whole universe, right? And everything that's in it. But boy, he's been working on my patience all my life. The great New England preacher Philip Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. It was very hard to get him upset. But at times he suffered moments of frustration and would become irritable. And one day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" he asked. To which Brooks responded, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And that's often the way it is with us. We want everything to end quickly. We want to go back into our comfort zones, our normal zones. We don't like to be disturbed. We don't like to sit down and try to figure out what God is doing in everything. We are often in a hurry, but God isn't. And you may be in a hurry to see the fruit of godliness and obedience in your children, but God knows that it takes time. It takes time in all of our life for the fruit of obedience and godliness to become apparent. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." 1 Timothy 2:24, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach, patient." I can give you many, many more verses from Scripture that speak to the matter of patience. If you expect to teach your children well, you have to put patience into practice. From the time of their infancy, as I said, they will test your patience like nothing else in your life. And sometimes it seems that there may be one child in particular that God has given you. Could be a boy, could be a girl. Maybe it's more than one. But they will be the supreme test of your patience. I remind you this morning that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not natural to us. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. A parent must be spirit controlled. You must have a strong spiritual life if you are going to instruct your children and love your children according to the Word of God. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. These are the real tests of spirituality. It's not how many marvelous things that we have done in the name of the Lord. Even if you can do great miracles, that doesn't mean you're a spiritual person. You test it by the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And along with patience in practicing and parenting goes perseverance. That's another one, right? I mean, What does it say in Ephesians 6? 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's perseverance in prayer. But we just need perseverance every day, every moment of the day. The word for perseverance is proskartereo in the Greek, and it means to be steadfast. It's actually a strengthened form of the word kartero, which means toward, or pros, which means toward, and karteros, which means strong. So it denotes to continue steadfast in a thing and give unremitting care to it. Not just in prayer, but in all spiritual endeavors. You can't quit. It's easy as a parent to get frustrated, and they're trying to wear you out sometimes. And you just can't throw in the towel. You can't give up and let them have their way. Take one day at a time and keep going. Don't look back too much. Sometimes it's good to look back to evaluate where you are. But you need to keep going. You need to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ and the high calling of God for you as a parent. By definition, perseverance is the value of being constant and firm in achieving a goal or overcoming an obstacle. And there are many obstacles that we as Christians face, that Christian parents face in their home. And the biggest obstacle in parenting is your child's self-will. They're born in the world with a sin nature, with a will that is contrary to the will of God. So it's contrary to your will many times if you're following the scripture. And that self-will is not overcome easily or quickly. But remember this, regular spiritual instruction from infancy will bear fruit in time. 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in the things that you have learned, Timothy, and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And in that passage there in Timothy, the word child is brephos, and it means an infant, often used in the Bible of even an unborn child still in the womb. Peter used it in 1 Peter 2:2 when he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Use that same word, newborn babes, newborn children. A newborn baby or a newborn babe spiritually is a new convert. He's in the infancy of his spiritual life. How does he grow? By the word of God. How did Timothy come to faith eventually in Christ Jesus? Through the godly influences that he had in his life, who taught him, Paul said, from his infancy, the Holy Scriptures. A lot of parents get caught up on a lot of things. Sometimes education dominates, and your children need to be well educated. But do not neglect the greater priority, their spiritual education. Fourthly, you have to be practical. Teaching your children Bible verses is important. Teaching them what they mean and how to apply them is critical. And you can do that from the time that they are very little. You have to teach your children wisdom. What is wisdom according to the book of Proverbs? Wisdom is living life skillfully. at every level. That's what biblical wisdom, living life with skill, according to the Word of God. There is much practical instruction in the book of Proverbs and in the New Testament epistles. So we have to utilize those important books that God has given to us and texts about wisdom and make it simple for your children so that they can apply it to their life. And application is the response and action that follows the hearing of God's word. It's being a what? A doer of the word and not a hearer only. Doesn't matter how many Bible verses your children can memorize if they're not living them out in their life, if they haven't applied them to their heart. Ephesians 6:1, what does it say? Children. And again, that's just speaking of offspring. It's not speaking of specific age. But it does apply to the very little ones as well. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word obey there means to come under the hearing of, with a heart for obeying it. Children have to come under the hearing of God's word. And let me just say this to you. It's God's word that is quick and powerful, right? And sharper than a two-edged sword and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and then is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that's what you're striking toward the heart with. The word of God. Years ago, there was a popular parenting book, Shepherding Your Child's Heart. A lot of parenting material today is moralistic, but it is not biblistic. Parents who are not Christian can teach their children morals, but they don't teach them the Word of God and what's really behind all that moral instruction, the desire to please God, to live for Him, to serve Him all the days of their life. Let me say this, the practicality of many biblical truths, because the Bible is immensely practical, does not mean that the Bible is always easy. There are hard truths in the Bible. There are secret things that belong unto the Lord, but we don't teach our children more than what they can bear at the age that they are at. We want them to incorporate biblical truth into their life one bite at a time. One morsel of precious spiritual food at a time. And you keep building on that. It is cultivating the soil of their heart. And I think you do that with prayer, which we'll get to. It's cultivating the soil of their heart. It's planting the seed in it. It's watering it with prayer and other scriptures. And then reaping. And what a joy that is, right? To see someone that God has given to you as His special possession and your earthly possession and treasure, and seeing them grow from the time of their infancy to grow in their faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to live a life that will be well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's nothing more rewarding than that. Nothing more fulfilling than that as a parent. You have to be prayerful too, and that should surprise nobody. Parents must never stop praying for their children from the time the child is born to the time that they leave this world. I think it's their greatest duty. And as their children get older, a parent has less and less control over their thoughts, their opinions, and their actions. That's where the world, that's where social media, that's where their peers step in. And they begin to exert influence upon their life. So that's when parents start to spend even more time talking to God about their children than talking to their children about God. Because they know that only God can change their heart. If a child takes a detour and he leaves the path of righteousness, as many Christian parents' children have, what do you do? You can't run after them then and beat them over the head with the Bible. You pray that if their salvation was real, that the Spirit of God would draw them back to Him. Some of your best parenting, if not your best parenting, is done on your knees. Like Hannah, for this child I prayed. My wife and I, we have prayed our hearts out for our daughter. We never stop praying for her. I pray for her all day long. So you have to have a close walk with the Lord so that there's no hindrance to your prayers. Remember the verse in 1 Peter 3:7? Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers would not be hindered. I like what Solomon prayed in 1 Chronicles 29:19. He's praying to God. This is David, actually, praying for Solomon. Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. He's praying first for his heart, an obedient heart, and then for his calling as a king, a leader, to build the house of the Lord. So how can we pray? Wow. I could give you pages of sample things to pray for. I'll just list a couple. Ask yourself a question. Do you pray like this for your child? Every day, somewhere along this line. Lord, cultivate a grateful heart within my child. It's precious to see a thankful child. Isn't it? A child who's not always asking for more and more and more and more, but content and grateful for the things that he has. That's well-pleasing to the Lord. And as God's children, we should have grateful hearts. Like I said, look at this. This is beautiful here. I am so thankful, brothers and sisters, that we are continuing to worship God. Continuing to praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that I can go to a grocery store and it's still filled with food. That the government is still providing services. That doctors and nurses are treating people and the hospitals are open. We have so much in this country to be thankful for. We truly are a blessed people. Lord, cultivate a grateful heart within my child. Lord, cultivate an obedient heart within my child. Lord, help my child to gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, help my child to choose good friends. Lord, make my child a blessing to others. Lord, surround my child with other godly mentors and examples. Lord, help my child to be cheerful, not a murmurer or a complainer. Lord, help my child always act with integrity and a sense of responsibility. Lord, help my child to become an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Lord, help my child to continually grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ all the days of their life. Lord, help my child to see the blessing of prayer. Lord, help my child to love your church, its preaching, its worship, its ordinances, its leaders, and its people. Lord, help my child become all that you desire for him or for her. Those are just samples. Write your own list down, parents. Write a list down and let it guide you in your prayers. You don't have to pray by rote all the time, but those requests will get into your heart, and then you will find yourself praying like that instead of saying, Lord, help my child have a good day at school today. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. But praying for the real spiritual things that matter can't be neglected. The next one is purifying. Parenting must be purifying. And what I'm talking about here is discipline in love. There are two extremes in parental discipline, and I have seen them both. One is not disciplining our children at all or hardly at all. And then the second one is over-disciplining your children in harsh, abusive, loveless, out of control, authoritarian manner. Parents have authority, God-given authority. But the question is, how do you exercise that authority in your children's life? If you can't first get control of your own spirit before you discipline your child, don't do it. You will discourage him. You will exasperate him. Get control of yourself. Pray and ask God to help you to discipline your children in love. Hebrews 13:6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." That's us. That's divine discipline. In verse 11, it says, "No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby." And that's your goal in disciplining your child, that it will eventually yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in their heart. Not contempt for you. Not anger toward you, bitterness toward you, but the peaceable fruit of righteousness in their life. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." It's easy to take your hand off the plow, right? Because your children wear you out. And by the way, that takes a mother and a father. Sometimes mothers get frustrated and their favorite line is, "Wait till your father gets home." Now the dad may have to weigh in on everything and have a special little talk with his children. But moms, you have to keep persevering. You can't let them win those daily battles. Proverbs 29:13, discipline your son and he will give you rest. Amen. He will give delight to your heart. That's what we want. We want children who will be delightful as children to us. And then next to last, personify the power of the gospel to your children. I'll give you one verse, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, Paul said, even as I also am of Christ. Children see and they quickly learn what you are really like as a follower of Christ. One thing we know for certain is that children are imitators. They will more readily act upon what they have seen in the life of a parent than what they have been told. But mom, you did it. Dad, you did it. Mom, you said this. Dad, you said this. And when they get older, they will know you are a real Christian or a do what I say, not what I do type of a Christian. They figure that one out real quickly. Doesn't mean we're perfect parents. Nobody is a perfect parent. But when we sin against our children or when we sin in some other way, we need to admit that. We need to confess that and seek forgiveness. And be humble enough to tell your child, I was wrong. Daddy was wrong. Mommy was wrong. Forgive me. Abraham Heschel said, what we need more than anything else is not textbooks, but text people. It is the personality of the teacher which is the text that the pupils read. The text that they will never forget. And that is so true. Somebody once said, you teach your children a swear word and they'll never forget it all their life. They learned it from you. Finally, not only personify the power of the gospel to your children, but preach the gospel to your children. Preach the gospel to your children. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who what? Made him wise unto salvation. The end goal of parenting is a child that lives for the glory of God. That's the end goal of parenting. I heard somebody say the other day, parents are raising adults, not children. That's true. As a Christian, you're raising a Christian adult. You're not raising a worldly child who will become a worldly adult. So whatever stage they are at in the process, your goal is to see the fruit of redemption in the life of your child. Children need to be converted. So you're always proclaiming the gospel to them, even when it seems they just don't get it, can't get it, don't understand those kinds of things. You need to keep preaching and believing in the power of the gospel, the power of the cross, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God. They needed to be converted and transformed by the power of the gospel that they will eventually believe and take into their heart. And what is that? It's nothing less than the power of a resurrected life. That's Paul's argument in Romans 6. Right? You're buried by faith, symbolically by baptism, into the death of Christ. And you rise up to newness of life. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Boy, how many parents have shared the story with me when their child's heart was broken. And they came to the mom or the dad. And they wanted to give in the simplest terms their profession of faith in Christ. And it's real. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And if you've never wept as a parent over your child, you will weep then when you see the fruit of your labor. When you see the fruit of your tears, when you see the fruit of your prayers, when you see the fruit of your love, when you see the fruit of your righteous living before them in the life of your child. And I just want to say to the men here this morning, you have a wife, a godly wife, who is raising her children up in the fear of the admonition of the Lord, day in and day out, while you are not there, because you are providing for the home, you get down on your knees today and you thank God for that wife and that mother. And you make it your daily, daily task to thank them for the investment that they are making in the life of your children and their children. I don't always say it, but I'm deeply grateful for my wife's influence in my daughter's life. To this day, it doesn't end. Father, we do thank you this morning for your word, the simplicity of your word, but the power of your word. The things we know and see, and Lord, we believe. Sometimes we don't put them into practice the way we ought to. God, I'm so thankful there is forgiveness with you. That it's never too late to confess our failures, even in parenting. To ask for your grace and help going forward. Even though our children may be out of the home, we can still have a tremendous influence in their life. We can continue to pray. All of us here today can continue to pray for Christian parents. Continue to pray for the young children. They are the future of the church. So Lord, help us to join together in that task as the people of God. We thank you for your work of grace in our hearts. We know, Lord, you're doing a work of grace in the hearts of these children, even when we don't see all the fruit of it. Even when they're responding just to our authority, and not necessarily to your authority over their life. Help us to keep going, Lord. Strengthen the hands of the moms here this morning who are, Lord, just their lives are taken up with so many things. Help the dads to be a good support to them, to come home and to invest the time that they can in their children's life, to not be neglectful in prayer. We just thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power of the gospel, for the Holy Scriptures that makes wise one unto salvation. as we leave here, Lord, help us to hide these truths in our heart, to live them out, to go out as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and to share the good news of the gospel with those who know not Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.